But let's go into this 12-12. This is part three in my series, Body Life. Today, God sets the members as it is pleased Him, as it pleases Him. You know, we've been talking about body life. This is really important to me. I really believe, folks, that God's people in any given church is something very, very unique in this universe. You know, there are clubs, there are societies, there are collegiates, there are fraternities, there are various words that denote the gathering of people together for a common interest and a common cause. Am I right? But the church is so far distant from that as not even to be comparable. And yet, in so many ways in our culture, we've linked that together. A lot of churches have become fraternal clubs or sharing. But I really believe the biblical picture of the church is totally different than anything else. And it really is. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us. Look at this. For as the body is one. Now, folks, look, he's talking about your human body. As your human body, you have one human body. But your human body has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. Now, he gives an analogy. We have arms, we have legs, feet, hands, eyes, ears. You know, the body is a remarkable creation. It's amazing how it all just kind of came together, crawling out of the slime, isn't it? I mean, the phenomena of coincidences to create this evolutionary marvel called the human body. Do you know it takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe in the Bible? It really does. Extraordinary faith. The odds of, in fact, I read an article not long ago about a scientist who came to Christ and was saved because he studied the intricacies of the human eye. And he was convinced that simply the human eye and the incalculable phenomena that makes up the eye, the different structures, the different things, and what it would take for that to arbitrarily, inconceivably, of its own, evolve. He knew the universe couldn't fill enough zeros to have that odds happen. And it convinced him there was a creator. There was an awesome creation. You know, evolution is really a religion. And it's a religion of people who want to sin and don't want to obey God. It really is. It's a religion of, I don't want to give up my sin, so let me get a hold of some theory that will embrace a philosophy that I can be justified, that I'm not going to face a judge at the end of my life. But Romans 1 clearly tells us that even creation itself displays the glory of God. Even the mysteries of the Trinity are hidden in creation. And there's not going to be any excuse. That's what he says. There's no excuse. God's going to get up there. I can see it. Here's God and here's Charles Darwin, you know, on Judgment Day. And he's spinning on about the species. And God finally goes, does it? Says, Darwin, give me a break. You know, because everybody in their heart knows it's a bunch of hogwash. Okay, well, I've heard that. But there are many others that haven't. And he certainly set the tone. Well, folks, listen. Even as your human body, let me have an example here. Let's get some volunteer up. Who would like to? Brian, there you are. Thank you for volunteering. Here's our volunteer. Let's all hear it for Brian, Mr. Volunteer. Now, Brian is an example of what I'm going to make. Nope, fold your arms here. Okay, Brian is one body. There's one Brian, am I right? But there's many parts to Brian. There's his left arm and his right arm. And then he has, raise your left foot there. A left foot? Are we working together here? Then we have ears, little ears and nose. Brian is one person, yet has many parts. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your help. Folks, look at the last part of verse 12. What does it say? So also is Christ. Now, we probably read this verse so many times, but we don't get the true implications of what he's saying. He's saying that a local assembly is exactly like a human body. Now, he really lays this out in many places, Ephesians 5, Romans 12. There are many places, this, and even Christ alludes to it, calls us the body of Christ, the bride. But So what he's saying, listen, in fact, Ephesians 5 says the members of the body are attached like husband and wife. And Christ says that when a husband, a man marries a woman, they become one flesh. So he's literally saying that the body is integrally attached. It's not some club, not some collegiate organization with a common interest. There is an, it is a, best way to describe it here, the church, listen, the church is an organism. It is a living organism. That is the best way to describe the local assembly, that the Holy Ghost, an organism. Bible even talks about that when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And that's true about your human body. I don't want to bring Brian up again, but I would use him as an example. If Brian was standing here, and he has his hand over here, and I were to step on his left toe like this. Now, would all of who Brian is understand, relate, and be a part of the pain experienced by his left toe? In fact, his right hand may begin to move into a fist in a response to the pain of his left toe. Am I right? So we as a body, we are an organ. The Bible talks about when one member rejoices, all member what? When one member suffers, all members suffer. Bible says in Hebrews 13, weep with those that weep. Rejoice with us. Folks, the bottom line is, this is something we don't understand, but it's a reality that we are an organism. And Paul knew that at times jealousy would arise. Paul knew sometimes it would be jealousy. And that's really what he's addressing here. But it's first to understand it's an organism. The only thing the Holy Ghost knows to do is build an organism. He's not building a society. He's not building a group. He's building a body. A human body, the body of Christ. And it's mystical. It really is a mystery. In fact, Jesus even said, this is my body. Partake of it. Before he died, he took a piece of bread and he gave it, but he broke it among them. And Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 5 that we are one body. We are one unleavened body. We are, it's really a mystery. Okay, it's a supernatural phenomena. There is a connection in the spirit world between members of the local assembly that exceed any other connection in your life. I don't care who you know, if you may be married or have kids or parents or whatever. The connection in the body of Christ supersedes that. Even Jesus' mother came one day trying to get a hold of him. And somebody said, your mother's out there. And she's calling for him. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers, sisters, but they that hear the word of God and do it. And he was saying there's a bonding in the body. And I know that to be true myself. In all the years I've known the Lord, every Christmas I would go home to be with my family all the way through the 70s and 80s and 90s until my mom and dad passed. Dad passed in the late 90s, my mom in the early aughts. Is that what you call them, aughts? Double O's. And I would go home year after year after year after year. But I was always a member of a body. God was good. And ever since I've been a young believer, I've been a member of a living organism, a body, a functioning part of the body, a viable part, a passionate part, a understanding that I was really understood, that my proximity to Jesus was directly related to my proximity to the body. And it was being, the way I followed Jesus was in plunging into the life of the body, losing my life in the context of the body, maxing it for Jesus and serving my brother as I served Christ. And I understood that. Thank God I learned that early in my life. And God has established what he's given me as a result, as a reward, as a blessing, is a proximity to Jesus. A clarity of Jesus, an understanding of Jesus, a friendship, a relationship, an ability to hear Jesus. Why? Because I understood the way to find Jesus was through his body. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, in that you've ministered to him through ministering to one another. Now look at the jealousy he spoke of, verse 15. But the foot shall say, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Isn't that father not of the body? Oh, look at the ear. The ear looks down, look, the ear has to kind of look over. The ear, because I guess the ear wouldn't look, because what he's complaining is he's not an eye. So, he's not looking, he's just hearing that there's an eye, and he's not, and he says, I am not of the body because I'm not an eye. Is it not of the body? Verse 17. Well, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you picture that big old eyeball up here? No. Or if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? You know what? What he's saying is that happens in the organism of a local church. How come I'm not on the worship team? I guess I'm not as good. How come I never get to preach from the front? How come I'm not invited to be part of the sound ministry? How come so-and-so has spiritual gifts? How come that, y'all know what I'm talking about? Has that a voice like that ever ministered to your mind? I wish I was like so-and-so. It's not fair. Well, how come they get all this and I don't? You know, Paul's saying, look, this is a very common jealousy. Look, he writes about it to the Corinthians. It's a rivalry thing. I don't understand why they are this and I don't. Well, what he's trying to say is, look, that's as silly as your ear saying I'm not an eye. Now, I would submit the eye has a function, a significant function. But without the ear, you know, the eye is crippled. Or without the eye, the ear is crippled. The hand, the foot. The body is seamless, it's whole, and it needs every part. Now, Paul knew that iron would clash with iron in the local assembly. So he wanted to make something very clear. Look at verse 18. This is what he wants. This is the solution. Y'all getting cold out there? Okay, part of the body is cold, part of the body is hot. We'll just keep it lukewarm so everybody will be happy. Verse 18. Look, this is Paul's solution to rivalry. You ready? Listen. But God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. That's the teaching night. God sets today, God sets the members as it pleases him. In fact, listen to this. The Greek for sets the members, you know what it is? It means ordained, purposed, and appointed. In other words, God ordained and purposed and appointed that my hand would be exactly like it was, and it would have a function very different than the foot. Okay, although they kind of look the same. They both have 5 digits. And I guess one could argue they're significantly different. My eye, my ear. So it is, every function of the body God has ordained, God has set, God has purpose for you to be. You know, there's a fallacy running in the body of Christ. I remember it started 20-something years ago, 25 years ago, of finding your spiritual gifts. Really, Peter Wagner was the one to kind of start that. That somehow, you know, you're called to find your gifts. I remember back even at Redeemer back in the 70s, people would say, well, you know, I believe my gift is this and my gift is that. You know, I have this. Seemed like everybody said they had the gift of discernment. Kind of a, you know, how do you know you don't? I'm discerning you don't have the gift of discernment. Well, I'm discerning that I do. Okay. Well, but you know, the fallacy of that is God never meant you to find your spiritual gift. That's like a hand trying to discover its real place in the body. Okay, I may have 5 digits, be pat, be kind of flat, have a palm. In a place where you could wear rings. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe if I went to enough conferences, I could begin to hear. Speak to the hand. Right? Maybe that could be my calling. Or maybe my foot. Maybe God originally wanted my foot to see. I mean, that'd be kind of cool, you know? You know, you can find money easy, right? The bottom line, folks, is this is what it's really important to get to. Particularly younger believers get into striving and ambition and rivalry and jealousy and envy and all this garbage because you're not contented with who you are. You don't like who you are. And usually the reason people strive is because they don't like who they are. And the reason they don't like who they are, usually they brought up dysfunctionally, you know, in an environment where their parents particularly didn't like who they were either, you know. Well, at least they did, but they didn't display that because a lot of the correction had a lot of rejection in it, a lot of anger. And anger in itself, what anger says is I don't like you. Anger is, I really believe anger is insanity. When someone is angry, they're not in their right mind. Are you hear what I'm saying? Insanity in the purest sense of that word, meaning you're not sane. You're operating off something other than reality. You're operating in a, and that's why it says be angry, but sin not. Anger is a dangerous emotion. And a lot of people, it dysfunctionalizes people. People grow up not liking themselves, fearing authority, afraid of the mirror, afraid to look at themselves. So what they do is they try to emulate and they're jealous and they never feel content. And you know what? When you're like that, you can't love anybody really. You can't really, because love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love yourself, you don't really know how to love your neighbor. Amen? And you tend to hang around people because you want to be like them. Folks, that's just bondage. Because, I'm sorry, the hand will never be the eye. The foot will never be the elbow. God sets everyone as to please Him. You are who you are. You are unique. There will never be one before you or like you. Always, God, before the creation of the world, according to Ephesians 1, God determined. He determined who and what you would be. Praise God. In fact, God knew generations and generations ago that ultimately this particular one would come forth with these character traits and I could use him or her for the kingdom of God. I really believe that. I pondered that one time. I thought about my mom and her upbringing and where she came from and all my dad and his upbringing. And had it not been for the bomb, I would have never existed. A lot of us baby boomers are children of the bomb. Dad was headed to Japan, to the invasion of Japan. It was all planned. He was out there at Iwo Jima ready to invade Japan. How many of y'all know, had he invaded Japan, it's likely he wouldn't have come back. But because of the bomb, it ended the war. He came back, lived with his brother in Hollywood, who was starting out producing movies, and he always kind of glad he didn't hang around there. And then came back to New Orleans and went into engineering, finished his degree at Tulane, worked for the city and worked for the city engineer of New Orleans. Man named, it's my granddad. I forget what his name is. Marks. He was a Jewish guy. Marks. Anyway, and, fell in love with the boss's daughter. Okay. Betty Marks. Married her and began to have babies as 10 million, 80 million other baby boom, depression era parents did. And God, and he produced, and I got to thinking, you know, I'm thankful for my parents. Cause I realize, maybe not always was I thankful, but I realize I am a combination, much as I've fought it for years, I am a combination of my mom and my dad. And you are a combination of your mom and your dad. I'm sorry, you can't get away from it. You always will be. And you know what? I really believe God ordained it. Cause if you get saved, God redeems it. He redeems all the good stuff of mom and the good stuff of dad. He redeems it. He uses it for his glory. Now, there's kind of junk stuff in everybody. Okay? But praise the Lord, I inherited the good stuff my mom and dad. And God was able to pull it together and use it and say, here's a young man. I can use the whatever was on his dad's side and his mom's side, the personality, and mix it together and use him to perpetuate and further my kingdom. Amen? That's who I am. That's who he can do. And I will never be anything else. And for years, they didn't like me until I began to realize, oh, God had this sucker. He had this plan generations ago. That I would have my little piece, my little cog in that great machinery, the kingdom of God. So it is with you. God knows exactly who you are. Psalm 139, he knows every one of your members before you even came out of the womb. It literally says in Ephesians 1, he knew us before the foundation of the world. The bottom line here, folks, is what you, where you are. if you're where you are and you're doing what you're doing and it pleases him, what does it matter? What does it matter? Whether all you're doing is sweeping the floor or you're preaching to 10,000, what does it matter? If it pleases him, I mean, he's God. I mean, if God has called you to take care of kids, you say, well, you know, my gifting is folding newsletters, take care of the kids and being an usher. Or my gift is, you know, to go out, I really like going to the hospital and visiting the poor or visiting the sick. Or my gift is, you know, nothing more than just being faithful to my family and raising good kids. You know what? If that's God's call, what does it matter? If you do anything else, you're out of the will of God. You could go over here and do 10 trillion. So what? It's just wood, hay, and stubble. The only thing that matters is what God says to do. Period. Nothing else matters because we're called to be pleasing to the King. Can you know what I mean? This world is so screwed up that bigger is better. That to do something somehow, no, the only thing that matters is God has said, everyone. So look, then Paul deals with the rivalry issue once and for all. And this is in conclusion, verse 21. He's going to nail this sucker down now. He's really addressing rivalry in the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Verse 21. No, again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, before the eye, and the ear was looking over at the eye thinking, man, how come I'm not an ear? Now he said, look, the eye can't be all vaunted and boastful and saying, well, I'm the eye, dude. I get to see. You know, you're just kind of sitting over there hanging on the side of the head. If there's a noise, you pick it up, but I see. You, eye, get off your little high horse. And the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. Oh, yeah, feet say? Head? Well, if I don't take you there, you ain't worth squat. You can just sit here on the floor. Right? I may be lowly. I may have to get stuffed in things like shoes, and you may get to be free, but you know what? I'm the one to get you where you want to go. Amen? Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body, I underline this, which we think to be less honorable. See, that's the problem. We think certain parts of the body are less honorable. You know, I always have wondered, why in the world did God give us wisdom teeth? In fact, I went to the dentist this week, and he did an x-ray, and he came back, and he said, that sucker had never moved, has it? You know, I have four wisdom teeth. Well, I had three of them taken out, and it was very painful. In fact, that's in the scripture. The Bible says, with much wisdom is much sorrow. So, I had three of them taken out, and there was one just sat there. And folks, it's been sitting there, kind of up in the whatever, never moved. And he told me, he said, that thing's still sitting. I said, well, I'm 54. I'm just trusting. I'm just going to go the long haul. Because if that thing ever begins to move, we're talking major jaw surgery. Okay. Why did God give us wisdom teeth? Well, it's because when we crawl out of the slime, originally we were meat eaters in caves. And that was part of when we were the ape part of us that kind of evolved back. Close your mouth. I was kidding. You know, I don't know why God gave wisdom teeth. I really don't. But you know, I'm sure. Oh, here's another. Why did God create mosquitoes? Come on, tell me. Why did he create mosquitoes? You got to be the most useless. They used to be 6 feet long. You know, the problem is, folks, the problem is your thinker. I think everything has a reason and a purpose. There's a reason in reality for most of the history of man. The way men ate. He didn't eat food all softened and prepared and microwaved and mushed. I mean, that isn't the way man ate food was, and there was a reason. I studied on this. That really, the design of the teeth were actually originally designed for most of the history of man eating food that was rather rough and not tender. You understand? We in our civilized culture have what we might say addendum, or what's the word, superfluous members, because we've supposedly civilized. That's why there's such high rate heart cancer and heart disease, heart problems, cancer. Why? Because in our civilized culture, we don't really work, the majority don't work in the heat all day long in the fields. I was reading something recently about some, I know, when we were in Progreso, Yucatan, on that cruise we went on a little tour, Bowen, Jean, and I, and my wife, a little Jeep tour. And he took us to this Mayan village. And he was telling us how these, did I share this with y'all? How the Mayans, he said, they live right off the land. They're their goat. They have their own lettuce and their beets. And they just live right off the land. And it's just totally indigenous area. And he says, and they live very long times with very little sickness. And we don't know why. I thought, hello? Because they're not eating fried whatevers. Chips, bags of, hello? Anyway, that's getting off of my notes here. Which we think to be less honorable. Look at verse 23. But upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Let's see this. For our comely or beautiful parts have no need. For God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, the feet get to wear these fancy shoes. What do the hands get? Oh, you know, maybe gloves when it's cold. Having given more abundant honor to that part which, like verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. Is that how you say that? Schism. Schism. There was actually a church that had a division. They were divided three ways on how to pronounce the word schism. There was the schism division, the schism, and the schism. There was a division in the body on how to pronounce schism. It was a schism, schism. Okay. I'm sorry. It's early. That there should be no schism in the body. Well, here's the kicker, verse 25. But that the members, look at this, should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. Folks, the bottom line is this, I'm saying this morning. The lowly servant roles, listen carefully, are in higher esteem to God. In fact, James literally says, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater judgment. He literally says, don't aspire. Paul says, don't aspire to the office of a bishop unless you're ready to fulfill the qualifications. And he says in James, don't go thinking that there's something intrinsically better about another office. Not in the eyes of God. Jesus even said the last are going to be first. The first are going to be last in the kingdom. It's the world. Christ even said there that in the Gentile, you know, the higher authorities, but he says, that's not the way it works in the kingdom. I've come among you as he that serves, for he that is greatest among you shall be least. The bottom line, folks, is there should be no one up into rivalry in the body, because it is a living organism. This is my passion for this particular body, that the Holy Spirit, every single church that calls in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is trying to create an organism out of it. I don't care what church it is, denominational, you know, large or small. If there's an assembly of people calling on the name of Jesus Christ and they are seeking to walk in integrity, they may even not be walking down the line. Their doctrine may be somewhat skewed. You know, the Holy Spirit is still in there trying to get them to love one another, to cease being rivalries, want to cause it to be an organism. If the preacher will get out of the way, if he'll get his ego out of the way. You know, and there's probably so many churches that focus around the preacher and his ego. You lead the church, you say, how was, and they're just praising the preacher. You know? Oh, he's just such a wonderful preacher and he has such gifting and la la. Somehow I don't sense y'all walk out of here praising me. And I'm glad. Because if my wife heard it, she would speak the truth. I'm nothing to be praised. I'm scum warmed over that has been offered a gift of an office. What I want everybody is to walk out praising two things. Praising God and being thankful to be part of an organism where you sense God. Where you feel God. Where you love God. And the truth is, a body needs every part. Every part, if you're called here, God needs you to be fully functional part of the body. For you, if you're part of this body and you're a laggard, lackadaisical, infrequent, committed one, that's like, you know what that's like? A paralyzed organ or an appendage. It's like having an arm that has a crick, like an elbow with a crick in it, you know, or a back that throws itself out periodically. You follow what I'm saying? A foot. Excuse me. It periodically gives itself. Or maybe teeth that it just means it's a part of the body that causes pain, dysfunction. Suddenly the other members of the body, and that's where the body's created. You know what? When you have a problem, other parts of your, what is it? The immune system and the blood and will rush to the defense of the damaged area. So we as instinctively will go to the one hurting. But why? To try to rectify it, to fix it so it can be a function. Why? It's in the interest of all the body that everybody be functioning so we can accomplish the kingdom's rule and do what the Lord wants. And my role is nothing more than to make sure the body is functioning. That's what I'm going to be teaching on, I think, next week, a week after, is equipping the saints. In Ephesians 4, it's just to equip the saints for what? For the ministry of the body. And there's an amazing verse in Ephesians 4 that all the members fitly joined together by that which every member supplies shall have the effectual working of the member of every part. It's an amazing verse. I dug it up in the Greek. It's just got all kind of gold in it about the functioning organism of the body. And how the role of the leadership is nothing more than to make sure all the parts are well oiled. It's like a mechanic, you know. You got to keep that car oiled. You got to periodically bring it in. And what? They put oil in the axles and then they put fluid in certain so that the thing will be. That's what the that's really all the leadership is just make sure the sucker works and stays oiled and the functional parts stay functional. So they can accomplish the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here wanting to accomplish something. And the Holy Spirit has done something with this little group that started with just a very, very little group in my living room. And he said, I'm going to accomplish something with a little motley crew that calls in my name and loves me, is willing to do the right thing. I'm going to accomplish something that I'm going to make a difference in my kingdom for eternity. And so over the years, I marvel. I look back at what he did with the little motley crew on Bell Street, a little tiny house I lived in. I got laid off from my job. I used to walk down to Kroger and have me a cup of coffee every morning, sit down with my Apple Macintosh, the second one ever made in the late 80s, and type and learn how to and make newsletters and have sermons. This is how the thing started. And then, you know, we began, one thing led to another. God began opened up radio. Out of nowhere, I got this radio show on KSPJ on Sunday nights called Water to Wine. And I'd preach that, and there was this cowboy dude drive his truck on the edge of El Campo so that he could pick it up better. All right, he ran a feed store. And he'd come on late at night and sit out there to hear Water to Wine coming over the airwaves from Bell Street, because I used to do the radio inside my closet with all my clothes around me. It made a great acoustic room. Well, you know who that old feed store boy was? Mr. Darrell back there. So he drove his pick-em-up truck on into Bell Street one day, started coming around. And God knew what he was doing and began to send people, and he opened up other doors and television. You know, started doing these TV. Well, you know, I was at a convenience store, and I get a pack of gum, and this long-haired dude with red hair down here and earrings comes walking out. Spacey dude. And I went up to him. I told him about Jesus. Cool, man. You know, well, he showed up the next week with the long hair and the earrings. Well, he's hung around as Mr. Bo. And God knew Bo would be the producer of my TV show. Amen? One thing led to another. So the TV began to open up. Then, you know, God knew there was another thing coming along. We didn't know anything about it. So he sent this other dude. This guy was really a trip, man. He was I don't know how to describe him. But he was a geek back when it wasn't popular. So we get up, and he sends this guy along, and this thing called the Internet comes on, and Dave Little puts us on the Internet in 1994 before it was anything. Now, you think this just happened? We've been on the Internet for, crying out, 13 years. We've been on the Internet so long that in the beginning, you could go to a search engine, type deliverance, and new wine would be the first thing up there. We just have people come to the services because they found us on the Internet all the time. I marvel at what the Lord's done. You know, and then he did the television, and over the years, and you look back and you go, whoa, and then God grates because I've been teaching the Word every week. He knows I love the Word, you know, and he knows I got the thing about the Word because I got my daddy's engineer mind, and I like to take the Word and do things with it. So God said, well, I can use him as a teacher. And he's using it all over the world. You ever do that? Sit back and reflect what the Lord's done? You know, we look around and so we go, well, you know, it's just a motley old crew. No, we're not. We're, in the eyes of the Lord, we're accomplishing His will. We've blown it here and there and flubbed it. Yeah, but as long as we get back up, He fixes. But you know what? I'm determined that we finish the race. That we accomplish His full will. Whatever the Lord's heart was for this little motley crew, He's fully, so we can show out. And it's not just me, guys. On Judgment Day, we're all responsible for what this body did. You're a functional part. I'm just happen to be one of the organs. The one out front, but again, we saw that one's not any more important than the other. You're just as important. God's going to set you up there and say, well, I set you in that body. I set you as a member of that body. How well did you perform my will? Were you faithful with what I gave you? I gave you a talent. Did you double it? Did you do the right thing? And you know what? Your eternal destiny is going to be predicated upon your faithfulness with what God gave you and what you did. This is really serious stuff. And the devil and his angels are out there, and demons swirling and whirling and trying to get you distracted from the central theme of seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll kick in all the details. Can I amen? Lord, I thank You. That what may be in the eyes of man, our own eyes, sometimes despised and lowly and good for nothing and whatever, I thank You. That don't mean squat in the kingdom. What matters is that we're doing Your will and we're about Your business and You're pleased. And Lord, if we're not about Your business, if we're not doing what You, then Lord, move in. Correct, judge, turn fire, whatever it takes. And Lord, convict all of us. If we've been a lame foot, or a broken tooth, or a foot out of joint, Lord, if we've been nearsighted, or we got wax in our ears, Lord, whatever. Lord, and we have been causing the whole body to be dysfunctional and focused on our maladies, rather than being a supportive member of accomplishing the will of the Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Help us to be functioning given members of the body and to be thankful for what you've given us. Lord, break the trap and lie of rivalry and jealousy and envy. What does it matter? We're thankful today. Jesus, come Holy Ghost now. Bring conviction. Anything you would say to us this morning, Jesus. Push it down to the cutting. Jesus. 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 Bless you, Lord. If the Lord is speaking to you, listen. The only thing that matters in life is do what Jesus says. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do not harden your heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will regret that. For he will have to allow other means to reach you. You don't want to go there. We've all been there. You don't want to go back. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. Can I amen? How many of y'all need prayer of any kind this morning? Physical, emotional, spiritual? Raise your hand, please. We're going to have a little time of ministry before we go home. Raise thy hands. Okay, folks, if you don't have a hand raised, please go get up. You got the Browns, Beth, Seth up here, Deborah's child right there. Anybody else? Just share with them quickly what the need is. Mike needs some prayer. Lynn, maybe you could pray with Christine and Mike. Mike, do you need to have a couple of these guys pray with you or something? Is it physical? Okay, there's two guys with you. Just share what your need is. Lord, come, I pray with your anointing this morning and minister. Jesus. Bless your Father. Bless you. Jesus. 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 Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Have your way in each life, Lord. Accomplish, heal, deliver, set free. Release the gifts this morning. Jesus. Let your will be done. Your will be done, Jesus. Come on. If you're praying, just be open to the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord gives you something. You feel something rising up, speak it. Speak what you see. Speak what you hear. Jesus. Jesus. More Lord, more Lord. More Lord. Lady Mosikashin. Oshitelian yedi pulanaman. Jesus. Lady Moloman. Lord, I pray for the grace of God to flow to my wife who's struggling with some physical malady and Anna. Lord, pray you touch Anna. Have mercy on her soul, Jesus. Physically, there's issues. Have mercy, Lord. Touch her this morning. Jesus. Heal Sherry this morning. Lord, put your finger on all of us in places, giving ground to the enemy, Lord. We'd repent and turn all our heart to Jesus. More, Lord. Let the Spirit move. More, Lord. Healing. Receive healing touch this one. Healing grace of the Lord. Yeah, she tos toki in yonder this. Bastila and kotore sikiri yonder amos. Churi ki yonder amos. Jesus. Yandere si kiandara so chiandara kayataramas. Chitiandere kianamakun. Chitiandere kiandara kotirimas. Jesus. Jesus. Tuan goti sakatirimas. More, Lord. Accomplish your will this morning, Father. Whatever the Lord wants to do, he will do. I believe every meeting he wants to meet needs. Quicken the gifts of the Spirit of healing, deliverance, revelation. We resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. We resist the powers of darkness. We resist the lies, the antichrist spirits, the witchcraft. We resist the spirits that would try to invade and hinder. Lord, I pray for dreams and visions and revelations that would cause us to do warfare, to keep the enemy at bay before he even attacks, Lord. We'd sense him, Jesus. Resist him. And stay free and walk in freedom and power. Pray you send to our body, Lord. Disciples, people that want to be functioning part of a body. Lose their life. They can find life eternal. Jesus. Hallelujah.